What I would share with you, I declare in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. About 15 years ago, my wife Beth Ann, our daughter Beth, and I took a trip to Vancouver as part of our summer vacation. Now, for Beth Ann and Beth, neither of whom had ever been to the West Coast before, it was an opportunity to see some of the sights they'd only read about or seen on TV. Now, knowing that 2 weeks would be far too short a time to see as much as we would like to see, planning the agenda became quite the experience. Each of us bringing to the table our personal lists of places we'd like to see and things we'd like to do, and then trying to come to some consensus about what we would see and what we'd have to leave until possibly another trip at some time in the future. So much to see, so much to do, so little time. How do you choose? What sights and attractions were worth seeing? Which were most important to us? Given time and budget constraints both, we had to make some choices. And in so doing, decline the chance to see some sights in favor of others. Sound familiar? I'm sure it's a common experience. It's life, friends. Think about it. The very process of living our lives means making choices. It involves a lot of trade-off and bartering. We're forever giving up some things in order to have others. We regularly choose to sacrifice this in order to have or do that. We do it in our marriages, in the choices we make regarding our occupations, in matters affecting the raising of our children, in the decisions we make about how we spend our money or our free time. We do it at almost every juncture of life's journey. Whatever scenic road we take through life, we do so at the price of denying ourselves the sights and adventures along other roads that we might have taken. Now, we'd like to believe that what we're getting is worth what we're giving up, what we're missing out on. We want to think that to gain something of importance, we're giving up something of less or no more than equal value. And we hope that whatever we get or choose in life is worth the price we paid. Now, the price we pay for things of value to us come from the resources that we have, the most important of which actually is not money. No, I'm speaking of a currency of much greater value, time. You see, each of us is given a wealth of time measured out in days and months and years, a fortune that we call the span of our earthly life. After all, what is the money that we have or accumulate except a medium of exchange? So many hours a week at so much an hour in wages, or so much per annum as a salary for the work that we do. Our money is a function of our time, a measure of our lives poured out in fulfillment of some purpose. We give up the time we work in exchange for the money to allow us to purchase something of value to us. Anything we do with our time, then, has a certain value because we only have a fixed amount of it, a certain but to us unknown amount, ours to use as we choose. Day by day, each of us is using up that resource, till at length we use it all up, right down to the last moment. And along with that resource of time, we have a finite measure of strength, of energy, of power to act and to do, to make and create. And we'll spend all of that too, right down to the last flex of a finger, the final flutter of an eyelid. What for? That is the question, isn't it? Will what you get be worth the price you paid? Jesus understood that very well the importance of life's inevitable element of trade-off and barter. In Matthew 13, from where we read our gospel lesson this morning, the author records a number of stories Jesus told, parables about the kingdom. In this morning's parables, Jesus is saying to us that God's kingdom, the kingdom of heaven, is a goal that is really worth going for. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which someone found and hid. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all he has and buys that field." And again, "The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. On finding one pearl of great value, he went and sold all he had and bought it." Friends, Jesus is talking here about investment, about putting out something of value in order to possess something of a value greater still. And he's talking about effort, about doing what's worth doing, about going for what's worth going for, about seeking what is worth seeking. The object should be worth the quest, he's saying. And the object he's talking about is not treasure or pearls. The object is the kingdom. And what is this kingdom of which he's speaking? The kingdom is nothing less than the will and rule of God in our lives and in our world. Let me say that again. The kingdom is nothing less than the will and rule of God in our lives and in our world. That's the treasure to be sought. That's the pearl of great worth. So if you and I are to make good use of the resources of our lives, if we are to expend ourselves wisely, it's important that we have some sense of value, some notion of what's of genuine worth. In these parables of Jesus, one man stumbled upon a treasure, but he did realize the value of it when he saw it. The other man diligently sought out an object of value, a pearl of great worth, knowing what it would be like when he found it. And the point in common between those two stories is this: each individual knew what was of worth. Both of them were then able to make some discerning judgments, decisions, because of what they knew. So when it comes to the values that impinge upon our human lives, you and I need to cultivate that ability, the ability to spot a pearl or a treasure when we see one, and in like manner, to develop an insight for recognizing a fake or a gaudy imitation for what it is. And the consequences of not acquiring those skills are significant. Failure to gain such insights and act upon them as we make our pilgrimage across the years is to risk coming upon a treasure and not knowing it, or else becoming so obsessed by some ornate bauble that isn't worth our interest, let alone our investment. It's important then to know, or at least be able to find out, if that which we treasure in life is worth treasuring, or even if it's safe to be treasured. In his letter to the Philippians, the Apostle Paul writes, "This is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best." So that you may be able to discern what is best. The original Greek might also be read, "that your love may be more and more rich in knowledge and all manner of insight, enabling you to have a sense of what is vital," or "that you may learn to prize what is of value." The Apostle Paul's concern is one we do well to share. Now, you've no doubt heard the saying about the need to put first things first. The challenge, however, is understanding or discerning or deciding what first things are, or what ought to be first. You'll recall when Jesus brought was brought before Pilate, rather. His accusers leveled all kinds of charges against him. Only one, however, was valid. This man puts God before Caesar. Now, in the days of Jesus, Rome ruled the world, and Rome considered that to be a crime. If so, Jesus was guilty. No question about it. Jesus was guilty because he was utterly serious about giving up earthly security in the interests of something higher. Jesus readily and willingly abandoned the kind of visible and tangible things that so many in his day and ours cling to and depend upon. Those concrete assets and securities to which so many people cling were things Jesus freely gave up. And in so doing, he pointed us to values far greater than these. If we want to be followers of Jesus, then, we have to strive to ensure that our sense of values is likewise kept sharp, that the dividing line between what's of ultimate value and all else that is only of passing worth is clearly known to us. We must know how we must choose and on which side we take our stand. You see, it's not merely enough to know what is of value and worth. We have to claim it as our own. We must be willing to go for it. In these parables of the treasure in the field and the pearl, while one man stumbled upon a treasure, the other found it only at the end of an unrelenting quest. He believed it was out there somewhere, and he went looking for it. He committed himself to that crusade. And when he found it, he sold everything he had in order to possess that one precious pearl. We're talking here about effort, about trying, about striving, about giving in order to get, about paying a price in order to receive. Now, we all know what that's about. We all do it. Indeed, there's a lot of it being done in our world. People paying high prices for lots of things. Many people pay dearly for what is really not worth the price. Many people use themselves up in pursuits unworthy of their time and strength and effort. You know, one of the most tragic commentaries that could be offered up about a person at the end of his or her life is this evaluation. He or she or I spent everything and ended up with nothing. It was a bad deal. How terribly sad. What a tragic and unnecessary waste. You see, each of us eventually becomes used up by what we go for, by that in which we invest ourselves. No focus in life, then, can be more important than to endeavor to make certain that what we live for is worth the living. All of us end up in the course of our lives going for something. Very few of us do nothing. Few of us are like the guy who celebrated his 100th birthday. Amid the festivities, someone asked his wife what she thought about it all. She snorted and said, I can't see what all the fuss is about. The only thing he ever did in his life was to grow old, and it took him 100 years to do that. Well, since few of us are like that, most of us seek something in life, something worth doing, something worth living for. So what is worth living for? What's worth seeking? The answer to that question will determine the difference between a life well used and one misspent, abused, and wasted. Having acknowledged that, we need to be aware that the flip side's also true. A goal that's worthy of the investment of one's life deserves and demands a commitment that is complete. Most of us learn to do things like run, jump, or swim at some point in our lives. Not many of us, however, attain the prowess of an Olympic-caliber athlete. In like manner, there's a story told of how, in an autograph signing session backstage after a performance, a renowned pianist was approached by an admiring fan who said, "Maestro, I'd give anything to be able to play like that." The master musician replied, "I bet you wouldn't give half an hour a day." His admirer responded, "I'd give my life if I could play like that." And the musician said, "That is precisely what I've given, my life." Friends, Jesus is saying that the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure to be found, like a priceless pearl to be sought. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, "Seek the kingdom. Seek it first." But elsewhere in that very same chapter, Jesus teaches his disciples to pray and includes among those prayers the prayer, "Thy kingdom come." Somewhere between our seeking for the kingdom and the kingdom's coming, we ought to be able to get together with it at length. You see, I believe Jesus is saying that not only is the kingdom coming, but that it will come. That's a promise. The kingdom will come to us if we're willing to do some coming ourselves, if we're willing to come to terms with it. Our Lord doesn't ram the kingdom down our throat or into our lives, pry open our hearts that we might receive it. The kingdom will not accommodate itself to our shabbiness, our indifference, or our hardness of heart. Rather, we must be willing to venture forth in quest for it, moving out from where we are, reaching forward in heart and soul, straining to touch the reaching hand of God, knowing that we who are seekers are also being sought. In Luke's gospel, Jesus says, "It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Friends, God wants us to have it. He knows we need it. He knows we'll enjoy it once it's ours. Have you seen it? Have you caught a glimpse of the treasure that all the while has been hiding in the field? You've been a seeker all your life, each and every one of you. Some things you've found, others you have not. Some things have satisfied you, some have not. All this time, maybe you've known what it is you're seeking for. And if so, perhaps today you've been reminded of what is truly of value, what is worth focusing on. Or perhaps all this time you've not known what it is your thirsting soul has been thirsting after. If so, perhaps today you've discovered what it is. In any case, you can make it yours, you know. You can possess the kingdom God wants to give to us. You can have that kingdom, that priceless gift. You can have it in return for that precious life of yours. And in return for that life, you're guaranteed to receive the very best that God can give. Amen.